us to several different people today and through the singing, the worship today. Thank you for being here. It's good to have all of you. And the visitor, if you're here today, just I know you have just made yourself at home. And all of you are invited to stay for lunch with us after a while and have more than enough for each of you. Probably going to have to send some home with some of you. But anyway, we're here today to worship Him and now to hear some word. And unknown to me, when I decided what to preach today, as we were praying and seeking the Lord and trying to find something, these songs pretty much probably do a better job of ministering to you than what this sermon will, but it all goes together. And if you want to turn with me, I'm going to read just a few scriptures. I won't read very many today. And Galatians, the 6th chapter, and the 9th verse. Have you ever felt like thorn in the towel? And just walking away from all of it? I have preacher friends, and we'll talk every once in a while, and they feel that way at times, and some of them say every Monday. And I used to feel that way pretty often. I haven't in a while, but every now and then on a Monday morning, I think, you know, I'd like to just throw it in the towel and walk away and retire like my cousins are retiring. You know, Glenda and Donnie, they've retired, and George retires, and they're traveling the world, and it'd be nice. But I can't retire till God lets me. But I mean, sometimes life is heavy. The weariness of the battle of everyday life, the problems, the relationship issues, the fatigue, and all that stuff just overwhelms you every once in a while. Maybe I'm the only one, but I think it against all of us, regardless of where we're at in life, from time to time, we just want to throw in the towel and just give up. We're thinking about giving up on God. Giving up, you know, a lot of people throw in the towel on their marriages and their families. Just, I'm going to give up on this. It's not worth it. Yes, it is. And your relationship with God is more than worth it. And so I just want to encourage you with this scripture today from Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 9th verse. And it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we don't quit. And I know it's stuck right there in the midst of some other things, but I think it's something that we need to, and it's a scripture I have highlighted in my Bible, and every now and then when I am discouraged, I remember that scripture, be not weary in well-doing, and keep doing what you're supposed to do, because one of these days you will reap. There is ultimate salvation coming our way. It's not all bad living for God. It's not all bad living this life. In fact, it's this good life. It really is. I mean, I know there's trouble. I know there's trials. But you know what? Like that one song says, when I'm on the mountain, I'll worship. When I'm in the valley, I'll worship. When I'm in stress, I'll worship. When everything's going my way, I mean, I'm going to worship God. And I'm not going to quit just because something's going bad. So we've all thought about thorning the towel, especially when we're tired and worn out. But God knows just exactly when to send us His Word. And His God-breathed Word, the Rhema Word of God, something that God just breathes on us just when we need it. Have you ever been reading your Bible and you've read this same passage of Scripture hundreds of times and all of a sudden something just ministered to you? Just like it jumped off the page and just slapped you upside the head and say, hey, pay attention. This is for you today. Now, I know God don't do that, but He does reveal to you things. Sometimes you've read it and you read it and read it. All of a sudden, you realize what it's really saying. And it begins to minister to you. I've had that happen a lot of different times. And so God will send you the Word just when you need it. I believe that God masterfully ordains and orchestrates times of refreshing for His children. I've seen some folks during the worship today that were being refreshed by the Lord. My piano player, my wife, was being refreshed by the Lord. I've seen Martha being refreshed by the Lord, just Him ministering to her while she sang these songs today. So God positions us for the next level of intense anointing, which ultimately prepares us for the operational call. God doesn't want you to just get blessed just to be blessed. He wants you to get blessed to help you get to that next level of service to Him. It's more than just about you being blessed today. And I want you all to be blessed, and I want you to leave here today saying, boy, that was a good service. Well, that's our ultimate goal. I want you to go home and say, man, that's a good church to go to. But if all you do is just get a blessing every Sunday morning and maybe Sunday afternoon and every once in a while on a Wednesday night, and that's all you do and you don't do anything with it, we've missed the mark. There's service. Things to do for God. But anyway, having said this, I want you to understand that you have an enemy of your soul. And he's not going to sit idly by and assist you to reach unprecedented levels of anointing. The devil's not going to help you reach and get to where you need to be in God. Fact is, I believe he even upgrades or intensifies his attack on you at times. I mean, you get to that place, okay, God, I'm ready and we're going to move forward. Then the attack comes. That's when it starts. If you're not doing anything, he's got plenty of other people to work with, to work on. If you're just going to sit idly by and not do anything with what God's given you, he don't have to work on you. He doesn't have to try to tear you down. He's done got you right where he wants you, just complacent. Don't care. As long as I make it to heaven, that's all that matters. He's got you right where he wants you. God needs somebody to work for him. And to understand that the devil's going to turn up his attack. He plays dirty. Anytime you begin to do something for God, he's going to play dirty. He'll hit below the belt. He's sort of like that Damon Green on the Golden State Warriors team. He played, is that his name? Draymond? I think he's Demon Green myself, but some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Well, he kicked our player in the wrong spot. And that player's a bigger guy than I'd have been. Of course, I would have never got up, but anyway. If I could have got up, I'd been wanting to whoop somebody. And I wouldn't have hugged his neck when the game was over. But the devil's like that. He's going to hit you below the belt. He's going to kick. He's going to bite. He's going to use illegal holds on you. He's going to do everything he can to tear down and destroy us. The fact is, the Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, however, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the devil's going to increase his attack. So, as a result of this badgering and turbulent attack, there are many in the body of Christ who could easily just throw in the towel and give up. Perhaps you're tired. Perhaps you're tired of being sick, tired of coming up short, tired of fighting and tired of the pain and tired of the attacks and tired of always feeling like you don't have enough, tired of feeling defeated and tired of never being able to get ahead and tired of feeling like you'll never be victorious. Perhaps you're just ready to give up today. I'm not, but I felt that way before. But maybe you're ready to give up today. You feel like there's no reason to keep doing. Well, if you feel that way, you need to know that God has a word for you today. It may not make you feel good, but it's a word for you nonetheless. It may not make you feel good to you, but it's going to be good for you. For those of you who are ready to throw in the towel and give up, the Lord has told me to tell you simply this. You can't give up. Simple as that. You can't give up. There's no place to give up in the body of Christ. Once you've become a Christian, you don't want to give up. Why do you want to go back to what you used to have and what you used to do and all those things that God has delivered you from? I don't want to go back to the life you lived before I become a Christian. I wasn't a happy person when I wasn't a Christian. Things weren't going my way when I wasn't a Christian. I may have been doing what I wanted to do, but it wasn't a good life. It's a good life living for God. So you can't give up. So Sure, you're going to get tired, and sure, you're going to feel like you're ready to give up, and sure, you'll be discouraged at times, and sure, it'll seem like God doesn't hear you, and every now and then it'll seem like your prayers aren't getting through. Have you ever felt that way? My prayers aren't going nowhere. And it'll seem like you can't get breakthrough, but I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, you can't give up. There's too many in the body of Christ have given up. The battle got hot. Things just didn't go the way they thought they should, and they just gave up. You can't give up. There's victory on the other side of this battle. There's victory. Once you climb that mountain, there's victory. Don't give up. Galatians 6:9, my text, it says, and be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up. Don't lose heart while you're doing good. Don't faint while when you're doing the right thing. Don't quit. You're serving God today. You're doing the right thing. You've come out from among them. You've separated yourself unto God. Don't quit now. Don't give up just because the battle's got a little bit intense. Guess what? You'll win this battle. The next battle may seem more intense. But you will have learned that you won this battle, so the next battle, although it may be more intense, you'll understand and have the faith to believe that God will bring you through this also. We've served God a long time now, and 40 years plus, and we found out that no matter how tough it gets and how hot and bad the battle is, that God always comes through. Learn not to give up. We've talked about giving up, and we've wondered if we should give up, but we don't give up because we know that God's still in control, regardless of how bad it is or seems. I mean, we always, you know, when it's not us, it's like, well, you're just overreacting to that problem. Well, no, you're not necessarily. I'm not walking in your shoes. So it's easy for me to say, hey, suck it up. My brother-in-law will say, suck it up, buttercup. It's easy for me to say that. I'm not in your shoes today. It'd be easy for you to come to me when I'm down and say, Pastor, you need to suck it up, man. You know, you don't know what I'm going through, and I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you this, God knows. And God's saying, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't matter how bad it looks and how bad it is, don't quit. Don't lose heart when you're doing good. There's some dangers in quitting. First, if you give up today, you'll crucify your confession. You give it up, you just destroyed your confession of faith. Hebrews 10:35-38, it says this, and let me turn over there and read it out of the Bible instead of off this sheet of paper. I guess it's paper either way, isn't it? Well, it's paper here and a script here or whatever, I don't know. Hebrews 10, verse 35. First, verse 20. I'm going to read verse 23, and then I'll move to that. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us hold fast our profession of faith. Come on now. We give up too easy. It gets rough. We quit. We grumble, we complain. We cancel out our blessings by our mouth, whining, complaining. Come on now. I knew it was going to be that way. I can't never get ahead. I'm always sick. God never comes through for me. You're canceling out your blessing. Come on now, you are. And so we need to do that, not do that. Look at verse 35 of Hebrews 10. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, now I lost my place, which have great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39, which I didn't have written down, says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Then you go to first verse of chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We gotta hang in there. Hold on, if you would. Don't quit because things are getting rough. Hang in there. It's gonna be alright. You can't quit God. You'll crucify your confession of faith. So what do you mean by that? I mean this. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's paying attention to you. Not just God, but there are people that have heard you say, I'm a Christian. There are people that have heard you say, I have faith. There are people that have watched you and longed to be like you. And when you quit or begin to grumble and complain, or walk away from God, they are going to say, I knew they weren't really sincere. And you've crucified your... Then you come back in a few months and say, well, I'm on fire again. I mean, even just in the battle, you just kind of, I don't know, go on autopilot or something, or just get in this daze and you're not really serving God. You're not really living for Him. Yeah, you'll confess. And I know you go through these times, so don't get me wrong. I understand there's times you put it on autopilot because that's all you can do. You're just gonna keep doing what you know you're supposed to do, and there ain't no victory there. There ain't no life there, but you know that eventually there will be victory and eventually there will be life. And I understand those times, but I'm talking about walking away from God and just crucifying the confidence that people have in you. Don't do that. I preached a sermon one time, it's been quite some time ago, about, and I don't remember the title, but it was talking about just walking for God when you're in the desert. And you're dry. And it doesn't seem to be like, there's no water and there's no rain, and you're waiting on God to move again. You just keep walking one step at a time. You keep moving toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in your life. You don't quit because it got dry. You don't quit because there's no rain. You don't quit because you don't feel God. You know where you're headed, so you keep heading there. But don't crucify your confession. Keep believing God. Keep confessing Him, knowing that He is the author and the finisher of your faith. And keep your faith. There's some things coming that you hadn't seen yet. There's some things you prayed for 20 years ago about to take place. There's some things you're praying for today that might not take place for a few years. Come on. You don't believe that? You think it all happens all at one time? It does not, but there's at times it does. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Endurance brings endurance. You got to keep up. So, and secondly, if you give up today, you'll contaminate your character. You don't want to give up. Job gives us an excellent example of character. And Job was a man of impeccable character over in the Old Testament. The Bible says in Job 2:3 that there was none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who feared God and shunned evil, and still holds fast to his integrity. And it goes on, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. This is God talking about him. So this is who Job is. In a matter of days, you know the story. Job lost his business. Job lost his wealth, his family, and his health. He lost everything that he had worked so hard for. It looked like he had everything going for him, and he did. I mean, he had a good family and a good job, a lot of money coming in, and he had crops in the field and animals everywhere you looked, and his tent was the most ornate. His tent was like Donald Trump's tower somewhere over there in, only had more integrity involved in it, but he lost it all. But he never blamed God. I've been around people, and you have too, and I probably had to check myself in my spirit before, because when things went bad, I wanted to blame somebody. My wife won't let me blame her anymore. Had to blame some, so you blame God. Job never blamed God for nothing. And you read the story. Job didn't have the story in front of him to know what the devil was the one causing this. But he didn't blame God. Not one time. See, there's a difference. Or what does that say about character? And there's a difference between character and reputation. Your reputation is who people think you are. Your character is who God knows you to be. We put up facades and we're a certain way around certain people. But God sees you when you're behind a closed door and there ain't nobody else there. He sees who you are when no one's looking except Him. We forget that He's looking. We forget He's the real judge of our character and the real judge of our lives. And so Job lost it all. And to add insult to injury, his friends began to turn on him and speculate to why all this had happened. They said it's because he had hidden sin. Just because you're going through a trial today doesn't mean there's hidden sin. But if there is hidden sin, I suggest to you to repent of it. But just because there's a trial doesn't mean there's sin involved. We like to say that sometimes. We see people going through it. I've been guilty of it. I know you've been guilty of it. Somebody's going through something. We start trying to analyze it and figure out why they just can't seem to get the victory and can't seem to get ahead. And we think, well, maybe. Maybe. Maybe there's something we don't know. Maybe they got something hid somewhere. That ain't necessarily so. We need to quit, probably need to quit trying to figure people's lives out and let God handle it. Oh, I finally got, y'all are out there, huh? But that's the truth, isn't it? Sounds like us though, don't it? Look how Job responded. From chapters 4 through 37, I'm not going to go through them all. Don't y'all panic on me all of a sudden. But all through there, he defended his stance against his friends and his wife. His wife even said, why don't you curse God and die? Why don't you just quit, dude? Just give up, die. But he defended him. He said, and he remained on the Lord's side. And through the midst of all this hell and havoc in his life, Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. He said, I won't defend myself before you. I'll answer to God. And God will judge me correctly and rightly. That's how he said. And so he retained his character. So no matter what comes your way, you've got to be like Job and hang in there for the long haul. I mean, how would you feel today? Now just think about that for a moment. Just what you got, your major belongings and whatever it is you have, and it might be all paid for, or you might be hoping for a fire or something, you know. I don't know. I'd like to get rid of some of this stuff. Get it paid off. You might be really in good shape financially. You may be in health today and feel just as good as you've ever felt. Your family's all doing well. And what if you just lost it all one day? It's happened to people, not just Job. It's happened to people. You read all the time of people having car wrecks and losing whole families. Just like that, in an instant, they're gone. How'd that, man? And everybody, well, it must have been God. Well, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. And more likely not, Satan got involved somewhere, took their lives. We won't blame God for everything. God's a good God. He's a loving, caring Father. But sin entered the world a long time ago. And that's why we have all this mess. Not because of God. Our hope is in God. So we've got to hang in there like Job. And so in Chapter 38 of the book of Job, God began to reveal himself and his purpose to Job, and he asked Job, who are you to question me? Who are you to ask me about what I allow you to go through? If you read that story, you see God allowed it. Satan came and requested permission to go after Job. Well, I don't know about you, But I just assume he didn't even know who I was. But Job was a righteous man in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And we should be the same type people. Righteous in the midst of this bad world that we're living in right now. And it's always been bad and it'll always be bad. Until Jesus comes again. We need to quit saying this, I don't think it's ever been this bad before. If you'll read history, it's been bad since the days of Adam. And yes, it's getting worse. I understand that, but I don't know that it's any worse. There was rape. Read the Bible. It's full of rape and mayhem and murder. And God's people doing it. Come on now. It's bad. I know it's bad. But we got to trust God. We must trust God. And he asked him, who are you to question me? You see, Job asked God to explain himself. And God said, who are you to ask me to explain myself? I'm God. I am that I am, dude. Back off. And Job accepted God's explanation. We ought to accept God's explanation. Job didn't have the word like we've got the word. He didn't have the helps we've got today. He didn't have all the scholars to tell us what it really says. I mean, there's probably 2 million commentaries out there somewhere. I mean, they've been explaining the word of God for years. And some of them get it right, some of them don't. Some of them part right, some of them part wrong. I mean, I've had retract statements I've made before. Huh? Well, yeah, I got it wrong. I learned differently, so I had to retract. Change course. Try to get it right. Come on now, but don't give up. Don't give up. Even in the midst of questioning, his rebuke from God, Job maintained his integrity and his character by admitting that he was nothing in comparison to God. Now that's where we go wrong sometimes. We want to set ourselves up as an authority on everything. When really we're not authority on anything. You might know more about some things than some people, but there's a lot of things you don't know nothing about. And God knows everything. Real character will always keep you in check as it relates to where you stand with God. You'll understand, compared to God, I am nothing. I am nothing. I don't deserve to even be able to speak to him. But yet I have a free access to the throne. Hallelujah. I walk right in there and say, hey, Daddy, it's me again. I've got some questions and I need some answers. Come on now. But Job knew where he stood. And Job did not contaminate himself or his character by succumbing to the attacks of the enemy. May I suggest to you today, my friends, that we do not succumb to the attacks of the enemy and believe what the devil is trying to say to you today in telling you, give up, there's no hope, there's no use in trying again. There is still hope. There still is use in trying. Don't give up. Your friends might try to persuade you to quit church because of your trying times. They may ask you, why do you bother to go to that church? Why do you bother to worship God? I want to tell you today, in the midst of even your worst adversity, don't give up on God. Don't give up. And if you don't give up, I think you'll receive a great reward. You might not receive nothing here. Bible says the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and add no sorrow to them. I believe there is reward here if you'll keep it, hang in there. But your real reward doesn't come until later. You need to get that in perspective. It's not all about the blessings here. It's about the blessings waiting over there if you don't give up. Heaven's going to be worth it all one of these days. So hang in there. The first thing God did in response to Job maintaining his character was to rebuke his friends. He told them, you're wrong, you need to keep your mouth shut. You don't know what you're talking about. This man is a man of character. This is a godly man. Well, don't you want God, wouldn't you like for God to rebuke your friends or people that would come after you and try to persuade you to give up on God? Wouldn't you love for God to step into the middle of that picture and say, why don't you shut up? Well, God wouldn't talk like that. Well, he told them to be quiet and set them straight pretty sternly on behalf of Job, who they said was a sinner. Must have done something wrong. Wouldn't be having all these troubles. And so God rebukes his friends, and then what did he do? He restored his fortunes. The Bible says he received double of everything he had. Why? Because he didn't give up. He didn't give up. So he understood that you can't give up. Don't give up, church. There's anointing here at this church, I believe. I believe there is, and I believe it's flowing here. Because of your connection here, the anointings rest on you also. Hang in there. Hang in there. And so you're going to need that anointing to transition to the next level. But you'll never get it if you give up. People get to a certain place sometime and then they quit. I mean, they seem to progress to this one spot. I mean, different levels for different people, but they'll get to this one place and then they quit. Guess what happens? They got to start over again. Start all over again. Because they gave up. It didn't quite happen the way they thought it should or when it should, when they thought it should. And they give up. Then they got to start all over again. They got to, and in fact, as they start off, they have to start over partially because they're embarrassed and they're ashamed of what they did. So they start over again at the bottom, have to work themselves up. Or you have some people get to a certain place and they'll come running to you and tell you what they want to do and what they're going to do. And then you give them opportunity and they quit. That's another story. So don't give up. Your family won't run after God with fervency if you give up. Your victory will not come if you give up. Your struggle will continue to cause you to stumble if you give up. So I declare to you today, giving is not an option. Don't give up your worship. Don't give up your fellowship. Don't give up discipleship. Don't give up stewardship. Don't give up membership. Stay connected with the church and with God, and you'll flourish. And I believe everybody needs a local church. I will always believe you need a local church. Not everybody's going to go to the same church. I understand that, but everybody needs a local church. You need it for all the reasons I just read, for worship, for fellowship, for discipleship, for relationship, for stewardship and membership. You need to belong somewhere. You really do. So stay connected. If you disconnect, you'll become aimless and end up making decisions in a time of despondency that will cause you a lot of grief later. Don't give up. Don't give up. Stay in there. Stay the course. Ride the wave. Keep the faith. Fight the fight. Fact is, the only fight we've ever been commanded to fight is the fight of faith. Paul told young Timothy, fight the fight of faith. Fight the fight of faith. We need to fight it. So you will reap if you faint not. Look at 2 Corinthians. I'm going to close with a couple of scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are pressed, Paul said, on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And he goes on to say in chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen, for what is not seen, is eternal. Put your hope in God today. Fix your eyes on the eternal, not the temporary. This life is temporary. The older you get, the more temporary you'll realize it is. You'll recognize that your body's not what it once was. You don't have the stamina, the strength that you once did. You'll realize that you're dying daily. But I encourage you not just to die physically daily, to die spiritually every day. Dying to the Lord. But don't give up. Hang in there. You're going to make it if you will. Amen? Somebody here discouraged today? You can admit it. We'll pray for you. Anybody sick today? Need prayer for your body?